We apologize for this brief interruption in the show. As many of you likely know, the Higher Standard Podcast is officially sponsored by Transcend Company. Transcend has been my longtime provider for both testosterone and peptide therapies. But they offer so much more. Whether you're interested in health, wellness, or longevity, it all begins with you getting your blood work done. A lab draw will help you get the numbers and establish your baseline. You can go to transcendcompany.com/THSP. That's transcendcompany.com/THSP. Or you can click the link in the show notes on any streaming platform and on YouTube. Fill out your information and one of the representatives will contact you to get your journey started today. Now back to the show. You basically get a custom ear mold, pop them in, and I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, you sell like a wide variety, somewhere with thousands of dollars. And he was like, hey, man, like, you don't need those for podcasting. Just get this baseline, like, you know, a couple hundred buck one. It's like $500.
All right.
So maybe we go get those custom made, and then Arun can still wear the giant rhino headset outside.
I want to cut out a window right here for him. Welcome back to the number one financial literacy podcast in the world. I'm taking it over. This is what we call a takeover.
Not even like a full disclosure. Oh, what the fuck is this chaos tonight? Yeah,
yeah. Everybody's a loose cannon.
What's going on?
I was not going to wait for segment one to finish.
Yeah, I know. You've been running a little long in the segments,
me?
Bro. Yeah, you've been monopolizing the segment time.
Oh, monopolizing.
Yeah, dude, the last show was like 45 minutes is just what Saeed wants to talk about.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
Arun and I got asked out. Arun, you felt neglected, right?
Oh, yeah.
See?
Today, we're going to talk about a crucial step for anyone that wants to become an entrepreneur. Right, we're going to talk about whether you should be forming an LLC, a corporation, an S corp or a C corp, and why you would need this to protect yourself and distance yourself from the business.
I got to tell you, I thought you were being sarcastic about this whole bit.
This whole topic.
Yeah. I didn't realize this is real. So for full disclosure, I am an attorney. I am licensed, and this is not legal advice. This is entertainment value only. But if you choose to use it in a legal way, it probably will help you out a great deal. Okay. That being said, look, I have a number of corporations, and the reason why I have them is because despite the fact that I have a trust and I have other assets, I want to protect my family from any liability and insulate ourselves from risk. If you're starting a company, you just need to do this. You need to get over the ideology of, I don't want to have the cost of paying for the tax return. I don't want to have the cost of paying for the state filing fees. Get over it. You're supposed to be making money in the side hustle. If this is too much of a burden for you to do, then you probably aren't planning to make enough money in your side hustle.
Right. I mean, look, you could absolutely run everything under your own name individually and file everything you do under your own personal tax returns. They would actually fall under a Schedule C on your tax return, which is a sole proprietorship.
And right? you would be operating essentially as a fictitious business filing, filed with your local county state clerk recorder's office for you doing business as whatever name you want to come up with.
Right. Exactly. But whether you're a freelancer or you're, you know, creating a startup company or you're even running like a small business, this is absolutely something that you're going to want to know and going to want to consider before moving forward.
So I will point out that a lot of people will say, hey, Chris, you're an attorney. What should I have? Should I have a C corp? Should I have an S corp? Should I have an LLC? And I always look at them and go, okay, wait, back up. That decision is not a legal one. All three of them will protect you legally.
Right.
They all give you the same legal protections. Mm-hmm. The difference between the three of them is going to be how you pay taxes and how you look at your tax situation based on the best one for your needs. So a great example, an LLC is classically best for passive income entities. So a lot of real estate is held in a limited liability company.
Right. And what we typically see in the business that we're in, especially me, is that what a lot of real estate investors will do is they'll hold each property that they own in a separate LLC. And what that does, it, like Chris says, it insulates it, right, from other debts and other claims on other properties.
Yeah. And then a C Corp or S Corp, those are essentially just corporations that are better for active income. You're actually actively making money somehow. Services, you're out there doing something, you're providing some kind of value, and you're billing for your services, for example, right?
Right.
There's lots of different variations here, but basically, look, these are going to protect your assets in the worst case event scenario that somebody sues you and says, hey, you know what, Saeed? Fuck you, man. I'm suing you. I don't like your services. I want to go after your house, your cars, your kid. I want everything.
Yeah, your personal savings accounts.
Yeah.
Everything, right?
So as long as you don't commingle your funds and you don't treat the LLC like an extension of you, I mean, like, you don't just dip into it and take money out when you want. You pay yourself regularly and consistently, and you keep that treated as a separate entity, and you respect that entity, they will not be able to sue for anything more than that entity has or is worth.
Right. And now, look, so, for instance, my wife right now, she's actually starting a business, right? But she's not actually out in the market yet officially selling or product, right? Yeah. So there isn't really the need to create an LLC yet. So anything she does, the expenses that we incur, right, is that we can run that through our personal tax returns for the time being. But once it is up and running, one thing that we're absolutely going to do is create an LLC, right? And so, something to note is there's costs associated with each of these, and some of them require a lot more work, right? Like a corporation requires a lot more reporting.
Yes and no. So let's define the difference, right? An LLC, a limited liability company, it's going to protect your assets from business debts and claims the same way a corporation would, but it's formed vis-a-vis articles of organization, right? Mm-hmm. Then what you're going to do is you're going to file your articles of organization with the state that you're in. That's going to tell the state that, hey, I'm forming this entity. Then when you do that, you're going to have an operating agreement, which is between the members of the LLC and the manager or managers of the LLC.
And even if it's just you yourself that's running this company, it's still good practice to create this, because at some point in time, if you know you bring on other members, right, then you can always amend the operating agreement later.
Well, you'll always be asked for it. So you do need to create it. And like I talked about earlier, you have to respect the entity and you don't want to pierce the corporate veil. If you don't have this, there's a greater probability that somebody can sue you personally.
Yes.
Now, that being said, you don't have to reinvent the wheel here. You can find tons of different variants of operating agreements that are state-specific, and you need state-specific ones, by the way. Online, you can find them at LegalZoom. You can find them all over the place. Some attorneys will actually form these for you if it's a specialized entity. A lot of attorneys are forming things like real estate funds for real estate investors now. Unless it's hyper-complex like a real estate fund, if it's just a simple single manager LLC that you're going to run and it's for you and your CPA said this is the best tax basis for you, you shouldn't be paying a whole lot of money for its formation.
Right.
So after you file your articles of organization, now you have your operating agreement, which says how this entity will be run. You need to file a statement of information with your local secretary of state, basically saying, hey, this is the manager and this is the members.
Right. And right. Exactly. And those are the people responsible for signing documents. So if you ever were to go get a loan at an institution, at a financial institution, they'll ask for the person in charge, aka the manager, to mm-hmm. be signing the documents. And it varies depending on state to state. But I know in the state of California, for an LLC, the statement of information needs to be updated once every 2 years.
Is it 2 years now?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah. I think for a corporation, it's once a year.
Oh, that's why all my stuff's corporations. My real estate stuff's in a different state.
Yeah, ball so hard, man.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. You know, hey, I'm out here, bro. Just trying to live my thug life.
Just trying to live. And then the next thing that you want to do is don't forget these LLCs, you have to apply for their own tax identification number, an EIN.
Yeah. So a good attorney will actually do that for you. But basically all you do is you go on to the IRS's website. Mm-hmm. You apply for a tax ID, an EIN number, or an employer identification number. And it'll spit one out there right then and there. It's always a good practice to make sure you get that, download the PDF that comes with it, because you'll be using it a lot. So, for example, if you open up bank accounts, they're going to see your EIN. If you're going to start getting loans and stuff like that later on, you're going to see the EIN. You don't want to lose that number. And certainly, if you're paying taxes, you need your EIN.
You need your EIN, right? And I think that something that a lot of people don't realize is that every state has their own Secretary of State website where you can go on and search a business name to see if that name is available. So that's actually the place you'd be going to see if the name that you want to operate as is taken.
So, and to that point, both an LLC and a C-Corp can also have a fictitious business filing, which is recorded in the local county clerk recorder's office, right? So you could be, like, for example, I have a number of them. I have Black Crown Inc., which is my real estate company and mm-hmm. holds a podcast as well. It also has fictitious business names for Black Crown Realty, Black Crown Management for the property management piece, and Black Crown something else. I don't remember what it was. It's been a while.
Okay.
I should probably know that.
You should know.
Yeah, but I have a third one. And that's what it is. And also it also owns the intellectual property that is the higher standard. But you can write a check to Black Crown Realty because I have a fictitious business filing in the local county clerk recorder's office.
Right. Exactly. And why and another thing to go back a little bit for the operating agreement that actually spells out everything that the business does, that what's the purpose of the business? Who are the members of the business? Yeah. How do the profits get distributed, right? Mm-hmm. And how long is the business going to be, you know, what's the term of the business? When will it expire, right?
Yeah, it's funny to me to see ones that have set expiration dates because it's always a bad idea.
Yeah, it's always bad because then anytime you go to apply for a loan, right, let's just say you have an LLC for a real estate property and the expiration date is less than, let's say, 30 years, mm-hmm. right? Then you got to always amend it, and then you're going to have to submit it again, extending it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a good thing to know that these things are amendable.
Yeah, so, and then similarly, a corporation has very, very similar documents, but the language is slightly different, and this really confuses people. So instead of having articles of organization where you're organizing an LLC, a corporation has articles of incorporation where you actually incorporate a corporation.
Right.
Right? Instead of having an operating agreement, which the reason why we started with an LLC is because it sounds really, really like it is, an operating agreement on how to operate the entity. The corporation has something known as bylaws, which is a little bit more confusing in its name, mm-hmm. but essentially it's the exact same thing. It's a roadmap of how the corporation is supposed to be run and who is a shareholder. So now you're not talking about managing members and members, mm-hmm. right? Or managers and members. You're talking about CEOs, president, corporate titles.
Right.
And shareholders.
Right, directors, right?
Now, that should sound very familiar for everybody who listens to the show for any length of time because so many of the companies that you hear spoken about in the stock market refer to their corporate titles. I, for example, at the bank, am an executive vice president, chief operating officer. The executive vice president portion of that, that is my corporate title in the corporation structure.
Right, and certain titles are allowed to, you know, sign certain documents or you know, make the company liable for whatever it is they're applying for.
Can contractually commit. And generally speaking, officers of a corporation.
Binding, right?
Yes. Yeah, it can be binding. So if you're a vice president, right, you're generally considered an officer of a corporation. And generally speaking, officers of a corporation can bind it.
All right.
That's why titles are so important. It's not just like an ego thing mm-hmm. as much as I think people really, you know, buy into like, ooh, I'm this, I'm cool.
Right. So we see a lot of, we got a lot of people that listen to us that are heavy into the real estate game, right? Mm-hmm. So we've seen people that hold their real estate under trust, and now we know that a lot of them hold their real estate under LLCs,
yeah.
right? If you were to pick one, what would you recommend?
I've always recommended LLCs. Yes. And that's my personal belief that it's a better structure. I have seen good arguments for trusts for long-term holds, but the best argument I've ever seen for trust holding it for asset planning purposes, actually had a trust which owned the LLC, which owned the real estate, because the passive income tax benefits from an LLC is just going to be better than you get in the trust level.
Right, exactly. So the way that gets structured out, right, is you create this LLC that holds, you know, the property, it has title, right? And then what happens is that the trust will own 100% of the LLC, and then it gets layered down, and now the trustees and the trustors own the trust, so it technically always flows down to what they call a warm body.
Yeah, the warm body, baby.
They always want to see the warm body.
It's hot.
But everyone wants a cold plunge these days.
Bad boy.
You know, I really fumbled that. There were so many. You got me to laugh really hard.
Yeah.
I should have followed it with the take that.
You know, there are so many bad videos of Diddy out there doing really strange things that we all looked the other way on for a long time.
Yeah, man.
I have a new theory about this, and I know we're not in the pop culture segment of the show, but I want to get it off my hairy chest.
Okay.
Okay. So, I believe his house was raided, and we haven't heard anything since. Not because anybody wanted a case against him, because he had video of somebody important.
Yes.
That wanted that video out of the house.
That had the pull to get that done, right? Yeah. And look, there's no better way to discredit somebody if you start labeling them as the things that he was labeled as, mm-hmm. and now nothing he can ever say or do will ever be taken like with any seriousness.
Kind of like Arun.
No, not like Arun, man. Far from Arun, man.
Shot fired. Let's go.
Poor guy's just sitting there. He's switching. I've seen him switch right now.
You're actively switching.
He's working overtime right now.
Yeah, you over there. A lot of caffeine?
About to be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and let's break down some misconceptions about corporations that I think we often hear. Some of my favorites, when someone says, I'm a seven-figure business owner on social media, right?
Okay.
Or I'm a six-figure business owner.
That sounds really sexy.
Yeah, that means absolutely nothing, okay? If you have a corporation, that could be your top line revenue.
You're gross.
But you've got operating expenses, right? Yes,
yeah.
So how much you take home from that is really what matters.
What's the net profit, right?
Yeah, are you talking about top line? You talking about net? Talking about gross? I don't know.
Show me the K-1, dog.
Yeah.
Let me see the distribution, dog.
And that's a good point. So Saeed's talking about a K-1, which is if you have an LLC, right, and you're a member of an LLC, let's say you bought into, a Cardone fund, right? The way you're going to get distributions from the fund is you're going to get paid vis-a-vis a check, but you're also going to get a Schedule K-1 from them so that your CPA can add that income as a member of the LLC to your tax return.
Right. Just like your W-2s that you get, right, from your employer at the end of the year, that you take that and you give it to your CPA or you go file your own tax, TurboTax, or however you choose to do it, that the K-1 is the document that you take to now report all the distributions. So it'll spell out on there how much you actually were able to take home.
Yep. Now, these should be regular reoccurring things. If you have a small LLC, it's a single member, it's just you, and you run it and own it. You have to understand, you can't just dip into your bank account whenever you need money. Mm-hmm. Even if you're only making $100 a month, you have to have a consistent scheduled payment of yourself, right? Now, if you're paying for business expenses, buy whenever you want. Nobody cares, right? If the business needs something, business needs a computer, buy whenever you want. If you're paying yourself, writing a check from Saeed LLC to Saeed personally, that needs to be a regular, measured cadence.
Yes.
And it's something I always recommend you talk to your CPA about. Going back to the top of this segment, I will say that is the single biggest confusion that I think people have, is they equate the legal protections of a corporation or LLC with the tax implications, and they go, okay, wait a minute, so I should go talk to an attorney to get all this done. And generally speaking, the attorney's the last person you want to speak to.
I'd rather talk to a CPA.
Your CPA should be your jump off point. Figure out how you're going to be taxed and how other similarly situated businesses in your space are structured, right? And then go, okay, hey attorney, I need this.
Right, exactly. I actually was talking about this with my CPA last week or 2 weeks ago when we were filing our taxes, and I was talking to him about my wife's business, and I was like, okay, well, I know that in the coming future, she will be making money. I know this is completely different from how we give you our tax information. So he's like, I would like for you to come to me quarterly.
Yeah. I have a bookkeeper who does this quarterly with me because it helps measure out your payments and understands. Last thing you want to do is trip up with the IRS, man. So you just got to
not even things. Not even that, or you just go in the 11th hour and now you got to pay this huge lump sum, right? That maybe you weren't accounting for. It's like it's better to just take care of it quarterly. For the same reason why I personally like to impound my taxes on my home, because I like for it to come out monthly, so it's not, I don't have this huge payment coming in all at once.
I impound everything. Yeah.
Do you look like someone that impounds everything?
I do. I impound.
You
everything
you allowed you allowed. I can't even do it.
I like my impounds.
I know you do.
I like putting it out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So one of the biggest mistakes I see entrepreneurs do, especially newer, smaller companies that start up, is they get all this right. Right. Talk to a CPA. They form these things. Filings are done. Sigh of relief. Yeah. And then a year later, they don't file the Secretary of State update information. They don't have an annual meeting, which, by the way, if you have a corporation or you have an LLC, generally speaking, your documents will require you to have at least an annual board meeting. And yes, you may be the only board member.
Right.
But if you don't do this and have a documented history of doing this, guess what? You're leaving yourself in potential risk of piercing the corporate veil when somebody sues you and says, hey, this is not Saeed LLC. This is really just an extension of Saeed the individual.
Right. This is Chris the attorney kind of trying to break down to you a lot of some of the case law that he's read back in the day. Piercing the corporate veil, all that really means.
I use that every day.
Yeah, that's just, you got that in your arsenal at all times?
I always pierce the corporate veil.
You'd be piercing veils, huh?
Yeah, right after I impound.
After you impound.
What are you talking about?
So basically, when you have a business and you're trying to run a business, you need to make sure that you're running it as a business. The second you do anything that is outside the scope of that business and you're not running it the way it's supposed to, it's now viewed as you operating it individually, and now it, they can come after everything you do personally. That's what it means to pierce the corporate veil.
Well, it came from the ideology that people had veils, like knights back in the day had veils, and you couldn't pierce the veil because it was a chain link veil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Yeah.
I think a lot of kids hear veil, I think wedding.
That's what they hear. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
which you can pierce that. Yeah.
So, and the other thing that people should consider too, in the state of California, if you were to, you know, create an LLC, I know it varies from state to state, but, you know, it's $800 a year. So, I mean,
minimum state tax.
Yeah, minimum state tax. So,
for a corporation too.
Right. So sometimes people, I know it sounds crazy, right? But they'll opt to, let's say if you're a real estate investor, they'll opt to hold their, you know, real estate under a trust just because of that reason. They don't want to pay that $800. And you're like, come on, dude. Like, you got to protect yourself a little bit more than that.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. And I get it. $800 a year is $800 a year. But that barely buys you a family of In-N-Out. Like one meal, you know, I mean, anymore. Inflation's getting kind of wild out there. It's goofy.
Bro, I just found out. So my son is a picky eater. Okay. My daughter, not so much. Mm. For some reason, he loves sushi now.
Really?
Out of nowhere. Yeah. Hit us with a curveball. And I'm like.
Like raw fish sushi or like, you know.
Like sushi rolls. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, dinner just got a little bit more expensive. God damn
it. Yeah, sushi's expensive, bro.
God damn, bro.
And you don't like, want cheap, you don't want cheap sushi.
This is what you choose?
Yeah. You got a champagne problem.
Champagne poppy.
Yeah, you just, it's not going to be good for you.
No.
Speaking of inflation, shall we jump into the show?
I think we have to at this point.
I think we do. I feel awkward. I don't do my hands. You kind of pseudo intro to the top of the show.
You like that? I'm trying to throw you off your game a little bit.
Welcome back to The Higher Standard.
The number one financial literacy podcast.
In the world, sitting next to me, my questionable partner in time, the one and only Saeed Omar.
Sitting next to me on my left is my partner in crime, Chris Nahibi. Welcome back to the show, everybody.
And behind the ones and twos, the man, the myth, the legend, the man who's been switching back from camera to camera all night long, DJ Arun, everybody.
Yo, yo.
Yeah, and he's ready. He's ready. I can feel it tonight.
I want to let you know right off the top, Arun, I saw Grimes' performance at Coachella, and I got to tell you, you did a lot better already. You've already beat her.
You saw Grimes' performance? What do you mean? Was it televised or what was going on?
Oh, you're not. See, we're going to save some of this for pop culture, but Arun clearly knows. So she apparently was doing a DJ set, right?
Okay.
And whenever you DJ, there's BPMs. So beats per minute is kind of the tempo, if you will, of a song.
Right.
And you can beat match. So you want to blend two songs together.
Right. The tempos have to be
tempo the same.
Exactly.
But you can also have a half or you can have a double, and it'll still blend depending on how you do it, right?
Got it.
Now, you need to know the BPMs for your song so you can mix in whatever you have. Apparently, somebody else created her tracks and changed the BPMs. So when she hit sync, which if you do on a Pioneer table, will sync to the BPMs, it played in like triple speed.
Oh, no.
And then she tries to like stop the music and explain to the audience. But I've actually used one of these Pioneer decks like back in the day.
Yeah.
It's a glitch in the Pioneer deck. You can't stop it once you hit sync. So that's her bad for like not doing her homework and not knowing what the BPMs were and not obviously if you're a great DJ, this never happens.
This should never happen, right?
Because you know your own like shit.
And you've practiced your sets.
Yeah. Clearly she didn't practice her set. Clearly she didn't put together her own set. And clearly she's like, oh, I'm just gonna hit the sync button. And then she was like, shit.
I know that's
she like cussed into the mic. Like,
she did? Well, it's Coachella. You're allowed to get away with that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, everybody's high.
I mean
if you're a Coachella and you're not high, it's what are you doing? I've never actually been to Coachella. Have you?
No, I haven't. It's too dusty.
Arun, you?
Yeah, the last 5 years.
That's not why.
That's not true.
Fuck out of here. Yeah, he's more of a Stagecoach Coachella guy.
Hey.
Why'd you get so excited?
Yeah, very excited.
Country.
I like country too. Don't get me wrong.
Hey, it's coming back.
Yeah, thanks, Beyonce.
Yeah, Beyonce really just ripped off Shaboozy. That's a whole different thing.
Shaboozy, look at you.
You know who Shaboozy is?
Yeah, I've heard the name.
He's talented, bro.
I've never really listened to a track.
Shaboozy, a bar song. Go look it up. You're welcome. Hashtag blessed. Higher Standard gave you that. Inflation comes in hotter than expected in March. This from Yahoo Finance. And unless you've been living under a rock, this should come as no surprise. Arun, I was reading that, and you just moved it right away. You hate me, don't you? It's fine. Come on, put it back. You close it, didn't you? Oh, there it is. Okay, there we go. All right, we're going to talk about where inflation is, where inflation isn't. We're going to talk about Powell doing a little bit of a backpedal.
He's sweating a little bit.
He's like, shizem. It's not good.
They're going to remember when I called this shit transitory.
Yeah, we remember. And we're going to make fun of you on this show. Okay. Credit card delinquency rates are kind of freaking out a little bit. And, well, there's layoffs happening again. Not something I take a lot of joy in talking about, but the layoffs are coming from companies you probably weren't expecting them from. Apple and Tesla. We'll get into that. Mm-hmm. Fed chair now says there's been a lack of further progress on inflation. This out just today. And this could have and did have serious ramifications for the probability of a Fed rate cut this year. All this and more.
Yeah.
On the Higher Standard.
Feels like you're going to say on the Price is Right.
I thought about it, but I like Bob Barker. Please have your pet spayed or neutered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what a G.
OG.
And then Drew Carey taking up over.
I mean, look, you're not going to be able to fill those shoes.
You're not.
But I feel like they could have done better, right?
Drew Carey just... You know, not a bad guy.
Dude, game show hosts get paid, bro.
They do.
Like the good ones. Like, you know, Steve Harvey's getting paid.
I wish podcast hosts got paid like that.
Come on, right?
You know? Fox, where you at?
Hey, we should reach out to them. The grooming pet company and be like, you know, Price is Right's not the same. You want to hook
your
boys
pets
up?
Spayed or neutered?
Yeah. We'll do it.
We're also very hairy.
Yeah, we'll take it over.
We'll sell your products. Okay, so inflation is a lot hotter in March. I think Syed and I telegraphed it on the previous show. We kind of thought that was what was going to happen, but U.S. consumer prices came in hotter than expected in March, according to the latest data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, released Wednesday of last week. We are recording this on Tuesday, the 16th of April. The CPI, or Consumer Price Index, rose 0.4% over the previous quarter and 3.5% over the prior year in March, an acceleration from February's 3.2% annual gain in prices. The data matched February's month-over-month increase, but was more important for one very clear reason. Mm-hmm. Seasonality was no longer to blame for the increase. Frankly, point blank, inflation is increasing again.
And that's why you heard Jerome Powell come out and, you know, he had some choice words on the matter, if you will. So... not just from February. So you got to remember, in January, it was at 3.1. In mm-hmm. February, it crept up to 3.2.
Yeah.
In March, now, 3.5. This is headed in the wrong direction, kids.
Yeah, it is headed in the wrong direction. And since you're pointing that out, this lovely little chart that Arun timely brought up, man, he's on it tonight. He's just...
He knows what he's doing.
Cash money back.
I'm trying.
Annual inflation rate since 2019, you'll notice that it peaked up and started coming back down. And everybody was like, yay, we beat it. Inflation's going down. And we were like, no. The Higher Standard thinks that real estate values are a problem here. Rent and rent equivalent. You're not going to ever hit 2% inflation unless these things go down. Well, rent's going up, kids.
So I got something on that. All right. So based on government reporting, okay, from pre-pandemic.
Okay.
Prices for things should have only been gone up 17% now since then, right? That's what they kind of project for, right?
Yeah.
Rent has gone up 30% since then versus the 17%.
Oh, I got some data. This is just off the dome. This wasn't even planned. You ready?
And housing is 40%.
If you take from 2007 to 2023 Q4 year end, right?
Okay.
And you go all the way back from 2007 to forward. It's been over a 53% increase in rent during that period of time. If you take the average years where it went down, and there's like three or four that went down, but it went down nominally, and you average the growth year over year, it's 3.49% rent growth in Los Angeles every single year.
Wow.
Going back to 2007, on average.
2007.
Yeah.
And then now we're at 30% higher since pre-pandemic.
So you can see that the jump came largely in that period of time.
Yeah, man.
It's wild, right?
Yeah, that is really wild. And here's the sad part about that, okay? It would be one thing if our wages and the income that we make have kept up with that.
Man, all right.
It'd have been nice.
So Arun has been kind enough to pull up yet another chart, Yahoo Finance, where inflation is and isn't. A monthly look at where inflation is being felt the most, according to Wednesday's CPI report. Well, the outlier here is kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It's auto insurance at 22.2% increase in the last 12 months. And this fucking, I was like, what?
Why? Are people getting into more access?
The housing thing, like I co-signed the housing insurance increase. Okay, I'm like, right. Okay, more natural disasters, I get it.
Exactly, right?
But this one I was like,
and
cost
of goods, right? But damn, auto insurance, people are getting screwed now, man.
I mean, goddamn. And I literally got a bill. So I don't know about how you pay your insurance, but I got a bill where I get an email and it says your insurance, your recurring payments coming through, blah, blah, blah. I looked at it and I'm like, why is it so much? Like, I was legitimately confused. My wife got in an accident, like, you know, like a year or two ago. And I was like, oh.
That's right, yeah.
I was like, I wonder if this is, you know, and I'm looking for a reason, right?
Has your insurance gone up, Saeed?
Yeah, of course it has. But not as much as this. Yeah,
mine has gone up this much. I have Farmers.
What? Yeah. Mercury.
Progressive.
Wow. It's a hodgepodge.
Honestly, if I had a choice, though, so I used to work for a law firm. We handled subrogation claims, so insurance claims, basically. The best insurance company, man, always paid out, you know, their insurance policyholders. Mm. No questions asked. Never gave any of their people any trouble was AAA.
Oh, I have AAA like coverage. I just don't have AAA.
I have AAA coverage, too, but always for their homeowners insurance stuff and for their car insurance stuff. Never gave anybody a hassle, man.
Is that why when you walk in there, everybody looks so defeated?
No, man, but they also charge a premium too, right?
Yeah.
So that's my personal favorite.
Well, I want to stick to the chart for a second here before Arun goes away. I caught you. You were going, weren't you?
I was about to.
Yeah, you were.
You're getting antsy.
All right, number two on the list, a very steep decline from the 22.2% increase from auto insurance. Well, rent and rent equivalent, 5.7% up year over year was rent. Right below that, number three, housing, 4.7% up year over year in the last 12 months. Okay, so auto insurance, number one. Let's just carve out auto insurance as a crazy-ass outlier. But we've always warned that shelter, rent and rent equivalent, rent and housing, if they don't go down, you don't get to 2% inflation. This is 34% of CPI.
Right.
Rent and rent equivalent of 34% of CPI. If these numbers have gone up, 5.7% and 4.7%, hey, kids, spoiler alert, this is what we predicted a year ago is going to continue to drag up inflation. And everybody who's a pundit of housing saying, hey, Chris, housing's the supply and demand. Dave Ramsey said this. I got to do the clap hands whenever I do Dave Ramsey now. This is why it's a problem. And here's the worst part is as bankers, like, I want rate cuts. I do. I really want it. It's going to help my business for selfish, just asshole reasons.
Okay.
That being said, if you get a Fed rate cut, what's it going to do to house prices?
Oh, yeah, man. They're going to skyrocket.
And if it skyrockets, rent equivalent goes back up. And keep in mind, it's on a six-month lag from a data perspective.
But we talked about this because you're also in the camp, right, that believe that even with a Fed interest rate cut, that the 10-year wouldn't necessarily come down, right?
I do, and I've actually been seeing that recently. Unfortunately, I think there's going to be some optimism and some stuff in the markets. In an ideal world, yes, I am in that camp. That is what I'm hanging my salvation and hope on for rate cuts, is that I do think the 10-year is going to continue to rise, get out of the yield curve inversion, and we're going to start to see a healthy economy emerge from the ashes of this non-declared recession.
And why that matters is this, right? So if the Fed does cut their rate, right, that cuts the rate at which banks can borrow money, okay? Mm-hmm. But if the 10-year stays where it's at or continues to rise, remember, mortgage rates track the 10-year. So even though the Fed rate cut will come down, mortgage rates will still remain somewhere around the 7% and maybe even creep into the 8% handle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think we're going to end the year much, much higher than mortgage rates than people thought. And for all of you housing economists, I'm talking to you, Logan, who challenged me on this, ha, 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 I'm right.
I love it, man.
I don't mean
we're not
here.
Hey, we're not above this shit.
I'm not petty. I'm just not petty.
Come on, bro. We're petty, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, especially if your name's Lucas Belmar, douche.
Loser.
Yeah. I made $41 million in crypto, but I don't talk about money.
It's so funny because Adam, my son Adam, we were playing a game. We were playing a board game, and I lost. And he's like, you're a loser, Dad. You lost, right? And my wife was like, hey, we don't say that word in this house. I looked at my wife. I'm like, it's kind of a fun word, though. Loser is kind of fun. You're a loser. I
feel like I got really deeply personal all of a sudden. You okay?
Why? Yeah, why?
You pointed at me with the loser cup. You're a loser. Why?
It's hurtful, isn't it?
It's very hurtful.
Yeah, loser is a very hurtful word.
Arun, you are not a loser.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
You're not either.
Thank you, Saeed.
I don't know. It's pretty hurtful. So I get it.
Hey, Chris, have you been getting any updates on your watch or your phone?
What do you mean?
Your boy's been working out back-to-back days.
I'm not getting any updates from you on my watch. You're probably muted from the last time you muted me.
You might. Oh, did you mute Chris across all devices?
Yeah. You know, between you muting the actual text message thread and that, like, I am, like, legitimately offended.
You should, I mean, right, you should be offended, but that's pretty funny. Nothing is more offensive, right, than saying, did you get it? Oh, wait, I forgot I muted you.
Wait, I don't even get Chris's updates.
Because I'm muted. We just covered this.
So, you know, he's been working.
You did not want me in your life, but you didn't want to tell me you didn't want me in your life.
He's been going to the gym.
Hey, really? What gym?
24.
Oh, I would have totally pegged you for Planet Fitness.
There's nothing wrong with Planet Fitness, man.
Nothing wrong with Planet Fitness.
It's kind of lame that they don't let you drop the weights, though.
Lunk alarm.
Well, what's up with that?
They actually have an alarm, which rings.
Because it bothers other people that aren't that serious about working out?
No, I don't get it.
Keep
in mind, the majority of America is overweight, okay? And the majority of Americans don't feel comfortable in a gym setting. So for them, that can be very intimidating, seeing somebody with my physique and they're lifting heavy weights and dropping them in front of you. I mean, it's scary. I'm not like a normal human. I'm a completely different level than you kids.
than you kids.
Also, you muted me. I'm looking at it. It says sharing activity progress with Chris.
Baby doll, I don't mute anybody because here's what I do. I want to talk shit to as many people as I can, okay?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
Come at me with that bullshit.
But, dude, even Sal says it himself, right? And it's true. When he said it, I reflected too.
Sal? Who's Sal?
Sal from Mind Pump. I mean, you got to know, there's only one Sal out there.
What was that?
Right? Mind Pump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. So even he said the gym is the most accepting space. It's some of the nicest people you'll ever meet in a gym. I've seen people go out of their way and help people and build lifelong relationships through the gym.
People who go to a gym know that. People who would literally walk into a gym who are just like learning, they are so self-conscious about not being able to use equipment right.
I get that.
You know, they're so self-conscious about what they're wearing.
But if you're that aware when you go there, you'll also immediately realize that it's none of those things.
No, you don't. No.
You should.
You're just way too ingratiated. If you're my mom, who just lost over 150 pounds, right? Yeah. And she's in her 60s, just started working out seriously for the first time, goes to the YMCA in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
She was so, like, just put off by going to the gym about what was appropriate, what's not appropriate, like what's...
There is a whole etiquette thing.
There's an etiquette thing that's not just necessarily intuitive that you don't necessarily understand. Like, do you wait for somebody? Is it rude to wait for somebody for a machine, the machine that you need? Like, can you get an alternative movement in?
Let me get some sets in.
But my mom may not know how to use that machine.
Are you that guy, bro?
What guy?
Do you ask people like, yo, let me get
I
some
I never stuff asked. I hate that question.
Right. So if people ask, you say no?
I had a dude come up to me today. I was doing the bench press. I was doing decline bench, right?
Okay.
Just got on it. Laid everything out because what I do is I do a circuit. So I'll do decline bench.
Bench, bro? Really, huh?
Yeah. I push weight on decline bench.
Obviously. You're supposed to.
You supposed to push more?
Yeah. What are you talking
about? You just hurt my feelings. I thought I was unique.
Loser.
You want that lower pec?
Yeah, I want them under titties.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. I want that titty to hang.
Yeah, I want you to feel underneath.
There you go.
If there's not crevices underneath, you ain't working out hard enough.
Okay.
Or you know what I'm talking about, right? So anyway, I set up the whole thing, right? I put down an ab mat, and then I'm like, I got to use the restroom. You drink a lot of water, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the worst. I'm always like, dog, I'm going to leave all my stuff here to make sure that no one touches it.
I just set up, go use the restroom. I come back. There's a guy waiting there looking around. Mm. I'm like, I have a towel there. I have my like drink there. I've got like my phone there. I mean, everything was there. Like, clearly I'm here. Like, I have peed in all this. It's mine.
Exactly.
Right? And he's like, bro, how many more sets? And I go, I'm just getting started. He goes, all right, but yeah, but how many?
Because you were in the rack, right?
Yeah. He's like, but how many? And I go, I'm sorry, what do you mean?
Bro, I got like three different workouts and I'm about to run through this. What are you talking about?
So I automatically was like, okay, you want to play this game with me? Six.
Damn, that's an asshole move, bro.
And I'm like, oh, and by the way, I'm cycling
what
in the
if
circuit.
What if he wanted to make friends? He wanted to be your friend, dude.
Planet Fitness on the street, bro, go ahead.
You're not there for friends?
No, I'm not there for friends.
Bro, but the gym you go to, people say they'd use it for networking.
That's exactly why I don't do it. I have big ass Beats by Dre on that make these headphones look small.
Okay.
Right? I have a hat on.
Yeah.
Right? I'm dressed like a doucher who doesn't want to talk to you. I'm, you know.
You got a mean, like, stank face.
That's hurtful.
You know what I'm saying? You do it intentionally. Like, don't talk to me.
I had makeup
on. You don't look like you're enjoying yourself.
I did some TV work and I had makeup on and I forgot about it. And I was wiping my face on my shirt.
Wait, this is today?
Today.
You did TV work today?
I did an interview. It's a whole thing. But I had makeup on, right? Did you notice I was wearing a shirt and tie today?
No, I didn't see you today.
Oh, that's right. You didn't go to job. You didn't go to your job. That's right. I think you call it work from
remotely.
Remote work. Yeah, remotely. That's what it's called. Remote work.
I put in 10 hours today.
I haven't. 10 hours where? Just walking awake or like what?
I really do. I swear. I put in more work when I'm working from home. Way more work. Like I'm on double time.
Mm-hmm. How many times you get up to get nachos?
Not zero, bro. I'm back on it again.
Uh-huh. Well, that's one of us. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, the guy comes over. I don't like the thing. I'm at the gym to work out. I'm not there to make friends.
Mm.
Okay, let's get into the show content site.
What is distracting. What's going on with this recent data?
The Wall Street Journal, okay? Some people think that's a reputable source, you know? I happen to think, you know, let's hear them out.
Yeah.
Well, they had this headline come across my desk. And, I immediately had to shit myself. Powell.
Give this guy a new name.
Yeah. I feel like it's a Star Wars reference. Dials back expectations on rate cuts. Inflation and hiring have been firmer than expected this year. And I want you to take that part home because we're going to touch on that again, okay? Mm. Inflation and hiring have been firmer than expected this year. What the fuck?
Right.
Was my first thought. Then I'm like, okay, let's read the rest of the sentence before you get mad. There's a comma. Weakening the case for preemptive rate reductions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got angry. Very angry. So I'm like, okay, what does an angry person do? He skims the article for things that are making him angrier.
Okay.
So here's what made me angrier. Quoting from the Wall Street Journal, the recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence. That's a direct quote from Mr. Powell. That inflation is making progress to the Fed's goal. And again, quoting Mr. Powell, instead indicate that it is likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence.
Mm, so higher for longer.
Yeah. Powell said Tuesday at a moderated question and answer session in Washington. As a reminder, in December, Powell had pivoted from focusing on whether the Fed would need to raise rates again to when the central bank might look to be in a position to lower them. Market participants raced ahead and began anticipating a string of 6 or 7 rate cuts, puzzling Fed leaders who were like, what in the actual fuck, America? Who didn't think such exuberant expectations were aligned with their own outlook. And just recently, 2 months ago, the market finally came to its senses and aligned their expectations, said, you know what, Powell, we believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Three rate cuts. We believe you. Sold. Say less.
Right. That's the key component to this, right? That was the Fed's plan. So in order to understand what's going on here, you need to also understand what their plan was prior to this. The plan prior to this from December up until now was they will have 3 rate cuts at some point this year, right?
That was what we thought.
That's what we thought. That's what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's coming out and saying, yeah, it's probably not going to happen, guys, right? Because, I mean, what's going to happen with the rate cut? It's going to boost the economy, right? It's going to boost hiring, right? But what is it also going to do? It's also going to increase inflation, too.
It is. It is going to increase inflation. This is why I said for the longest time, you can't just cut rates on a dime and stop the trajectory here. And the fallout from this just pissed me off to no end. So, of course, I do the natural logical thing. Arun, if you don't mind, well-timed again. You were phenomenal tonight, brother. I'm going to make out with you later. Yes. The Fed rate cut probabilities, as reported by CNBC, they flashed on the screen. I took a photo of it and thought to myself, like, you know what, side room, love to see this. And then I got over my emotional crying fit, and I sent it to you guys vis-a-vis the show notes. 3% probability of a rate cut in May. 3%.
Yeah, that's the next meeting, everybody. So yeah. It's not happening.
Yeah, expect that not to happen. June, which was an overwhelming 50% probability at one point in time, down to just 16%.
So to your point, a month ago, it was at 62%.
Yeah.
1 month ago.
1 month ago.
That's how much these things can shift and change. 62%, now 16%.
July, 41% to start the day, but by the time I left the office, was down below 37%.
Okay, now here's the crazy part.
Yeah.
A month ago, it was 85%.
Yeah.
What I'm saying here is, a month ago, there was an 85% likelihood that a rate cut would have happened by then.
Yeah. Not so much.
They got, well, P. Diddy. Now we're literally less than a coin flip.
Yeah, P. Diddy came in, ruined the world. And now there's a break, obviously, between July and September. So September, you will see the next FOMC meeting after July. There is a currently 66% probability of a rate cut occurring in September. But if the past is any indication of our future, that's a problem.
Here's the thing that I have an issue with, right? Because the rhetoric from the Fed, it really doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't understand why more people aren't questioning this. Okay, so you're telling me that inflation's at 3% and it hasn't hit your 2% target. Your target was 2%, right? Okay, cool. And your projections are that GDP by the end of the year is a positive 2%. Mm-hmm. That's growing. That is more than healthy.
Keep in mind, at the last meeting, they literally said that they expected the Fed, they expected inflation to rise the way that it did.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't alarmed by the increase and that it wasn't a big deal.
Right. So if GDP is you're expecting it to be growing at 2% by the end of the year. And unemployment's at what? It's at 3.8%?
I believe so,
yeah. 3.8%. So,
which, by the way, bullshit.
Bullshit. But historically, that's your reporting. That's your numbers, yeah. Right?
You gave that to us.
Amazing numbers. Mm-hmm. Why are you cutting? Yeah. Why would you be cutting? If it hasn't hit your target and there's no problems with the economy, why would you be cutting? Because you know that shit is bullshit.
Wow.
That shit is bullshit. It's technical
term. This
is
why you get a laureate.
Technical it's term.
You articulated that in such a masterful way. That shit is bullshit.
That shit is bullshit.
I mean, honestly, I don't...
All of their shits are bullshits.
I don't know how I can compete with that from just an intellectual standpoint.
Thank you, my man.
It's compelling.
I appreciate you.
Maybe we should just go on to credit card delinquency rates, shall we?
We can, but I wanted to get your take on this.
What?
There's four options that the Fed can do moving forward, right?
So you don't want to go to credit card.
I just want to ask you what you think they're going to do, what they're going to do, right?
Give me the four options. What do you got?
Okay, option number one, they stick to their plan. 3 rate cuts by the end of the year.
Ooh, yeah, not 100% buying into that one, but what else you got?
Not going to happen, right? Option number two, they change their plan.
Ooh, losing credibility is going to be difficult for them, but I think they've already kind of gone down that path. But
what's option three? If they do change their plan,
yeah,
that will be shown at the June meeting, I believe.
Tail between the legs?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, option number three, they don't cut rates at all.
Yeah, which is becoming a very significant growing chorus of the financial population who really geeks out on this. I'm hearing a lot of people speculate to that. It's very concerning.
And option number four, they raise rates. Now, that's crazy, right? It is crazy. At one point earlier this year...
Why are you smiling while you say this to me right now?
Well, because, listen, at one point earlier this year, that was viewed as... virtually impossible.
Yeah, I know.
Now,
and the FOMC came out and said they are nearing the end of, and then ultimately said they were at the end of their interest rate increasing cycle.
Right.
You know how much credibility you would lose if you need to do that again?
Right. So you go from something that was impossible to now it's probably improbable. So, I mean, you're getting closer to likely.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let me tell you right now, if a girl said, it is impossible, I am going to sleep with you. And then, like, a day later, she's like, you know what? It's just improbable, okay?
Yeah.
You're like, shit, a couple days from now, it might be possible.
Right, exactly. Because their Fed minutes came out, and they said households have more money, according to the household balance
sheets. Which, not mine.
Right. And it's like, wait. You guys are twisting it now. Household balance sheets have grown? Okay, that's just the equity in their homes. That's not real money, right?
That is correct.
That's just the equity in their homes. So they'd have to cash in on that. They'd have to sell. That's why they're using that as propaganda to continue to push forward.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Let's get into these credit card delinquencies.
Okay. Well, for a frame of reference here, Saeed just said, you know, people have all this equity in their homes.
Yeah.
They're financially great, right?
They should be fine.
Your brother Brian Minahan over at B of A seems to think that.
Yeah.
Got some good reports coming out from their reporting on the bank, but they neglected to really cover the fact their losses are increasing. Now, if you pivot a bank to a consumer bank and you take on consumer debt, what could go wrong?
Yeah, what could, exactly?
Well, let me give you a hypothetical that's not so hypothetical. For a reminder, $1.3 trillion in aggregate credit card debt, the highest in history. So this number should come as no surprise from Yahoo Finance. U.S. credit card delinquency rates were at the highest on record in the fourth quarter, according to a Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia report. Almost 3.5% of credit card balances were at least 30 days or more past due as of the end of December, the Philadelphia Fed said. That's the highest figure in the data series going back to 2012 and up by about 30 basis points from the previous quarter. The share of debts that are 60 and 90 days are also climbing. Shares among stress among cardholders was further underscored in payment behavior as the share of accounts making minimum payments rose 34 basis points to a series high, man, according to the report. Now, I will point out, I did some rough math here, $1.3 trillion, 3.5%, $450 billion.
Wow.
Billion.
Billion with a B. It's a lot of millions.
Is that math wrong? I think it's right.
30, 60, 90 days past due, man. This is so, this is past your grace period, right? So this is when things are actually getting reported to credit agencies. We talked about this on our previous episode, how to get a perfect credit score, right?
There's no other way to articulate this chart. It looks like the chart got an erection. That's what's happening here, okay? If you're driving, that's the visual. It went from flat to very happy. Someone gave it a Viagra.
God damn.
It gets the point across, does it not?
It did. Good job.
If you're driving and you're like, Chris, I can't see the chart, what does it look like? Now you know.
Now you got to head over to the YouTube channel to see the erection.
Arun, that was good, right? I mean, it was a good reference.
That was brilliant.
A brilliant reference.
Which reminds me, I don't want to wait to save this for the end of the show. I feel like it's a perfect time. If you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, please head over and leave us an honest 5-star review. It does a lot for the show. If you're watching us over on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe, ring that notification bell, hit that like button. Let's get this out to as many people as possible. Make sure you do all the moist, goody, good sassafras.
All right. In the interest of time, I will speed through the next two. I also included a review. Did you see the review that I included? I thought it was.
I did. I showed my wife.
Special. Did you really?
I did.
Tell her I'm sorry later on. Okay.
No, it's great. It's great. I'm all for it. Hey, listen. Babe. I'm very comfortable with my relationship.
Hey, man. People in my DMs be coming for you, brother.
Hey, listen. I want the smoke. Come to my DMs.
They don't want to go into your DMs. Yeah, I'm afraid your wife's reading it.
Come to my DMs. We'll have this conversation.
God damn it.
Oh, man, Apple laying off people. You know what? I heard this. So Apple's laying off 600 employees, right? This is according to the Instagram handle. Oh, it's the CNET?
Yeah, CNET, yeah.
CNET, okay. They're saying that this is probably have to do with their Apple Car division. That's what people are speculating.
I thought that was already included. They just shut the project down and didn't lay them off. Is that what
maybe,
it is?
Maybe, I don't know. That was a speculation.
All right, well, you know, look, the whole point of me including this was, frankly, that big companies are still having layoffs, reductions in force. Just behind Apple is Tesla. That's the next article, Arun. You can skip over to the next one.
10%, right?
10% of the workforce, very quiet. In a leaked memo to Tesla staff, CEO Elon Musk said the company made the difficult decision to reduce our headcount by more than 10% globally. Electric vehicle website Electric reported. Oh, interesting website, but okay. Mm-hmm. Shares of Tesla fell nearly 3% Monday morning. There's nothing I hate more, but it must be done, Musk wrote in the memo. This will enable us to be lean, innovative, and hungry, for the next growth phase cycle. Clearly, caffeine is dying out of me a little bit. I'll get rejuiced up in a minute.
Enable us to be lean.
Lean, yeah. I don't know what that's like. That's what threw me. Like, the word is like, ah, what is that? What? My body just completely rejected it.
Yeah, man, that's around 14,000 employees.
So, the Fed literally said, we're not seeing the impact of the job market. Okay, how many fucking layoffs from how many companies have we talked about, and they're still happening?
Right.
And yet, no one seems to go, wait a minute, there's a dent here. What?
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're feeling it. And how is this not showing up in the jobs numbers? That's the thing. Like, people are waiting. It's like, for the initial jobless claims to not be spiking up and increasing, it makes me feel like, wait, it's like, people got two jobs? What's going on?
And can we say a very unpolitically correct thing? Whatever. I'm going to be on. Okay, look. Arun, get ready to get real pissed off at me, okay?
Okay. Do it.
We're 53 minutes in.
In what world do Iranians say, hey, surrounding countries, we're going to bomb Israel in the next 72 hours from now.
Just
be ready.
That was wild, man.
So again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist in a room. Again, I would like to hear your thoughts on this. This is legitimately me asking. I don't understand.
I think I understand.
Okay, so hear me out, okay? wartime presidents have a greater probability of re-election. That's just a known statistical fact.
Okay.
But what I don't understand, and this is maybe just my ignorance, and I will admit to being ignorant here from, I guess, a geopolitical standpoint. The October 7th strikes by Hamas in Israel. Israel's supposed to be the Iron Dome. Like, you're not supposed to get anything through. It caught them off guard, and it got them. Okay. Meanwhile, Iran telegraphed 72 hours in advance they're going to send intercontinental ballistic missiles, whatever, that's traveled three times or two times the speed of sound. A bunch of drones and a third type of also missile that was fired in this barrage. And somehow Israel was able to stop 99% of them. Like, I am very, how could they be so well prepared for that, but so unprepared for the attacks, which they had heard scuttlebutt of to their own admission in advance of? I'm just wildly confused. Like, I feel like we're all being played and the damage that's being done to people is so massive.
We're definitely getting played, right? But from like an outsider look, from an outsider looking in, it feels like They just wanted to send a signal. They know that they could have been intercepted, right? If you signal, you let them know. It kind of lets the other team know, like, this is the strength, this is what we have, and you're underestimating what we can do.
I fully don't understand what's going on now. I mean, I understand the cultural implications. I understand the real trauma that's happening on all sides of this. I'm not taking anybody's defensive position here. I look at this stuff and I think, are the American people being played for political reasons?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, every country is getting played, bro. Everybody.
Well,
just
some,
more more than others.
It's sad, man. Like, I'm at the point in my life now where I sound like an old, stodgy conspiracy theorist because I take a great deal of pause before I believe anything that I hear from anybody anymore.
I feel like it's never been more true than right now.
Yeah, right after Arun told me he was working out, I don't believe it.
It's never been true more than right now that ignorance is bliss, man.
That's not true.
It is, man.
Ignorance is not bliss, man.
It is, man.
It's not.
It is.
You say that because it's convenient. That's not
bliss. No, it's not. I'm being dead serious. Look, we all come from, you know, cavemen. We were not designed to be able to know everything that's going on around the world. It's impossible to be sympathetic and have empathy for everything at the same time, right? You should, but I feel like it's almost to the point now where we're becoming desensitized a little bit.
You know, I rarely agree with you, but on that one I do. It's too much. There's too many inputs.
Yeah, it's a lot. And it's heartbreaking. All of it's heartbreaking. I mean, can we all just get along?
I get a little emotional in that one. Is that a strain? Is it acting?
That was the warm handoff segue to Odun. Odun, what you got for us tonight?
Actually, the first one's me.
First one's Chris.
Yeah.
You're bringing this up, bro? You're taking his segment?
No, this is just something that I thought. So I've been getting really into genomics.
What an asshole you are,
right?
Bro.
No, I look. Okay, I'm not an asshole.
He texts us.
I did text you. You just don't read messages from me.
Did you mute us?
Ooh. Were you having tea with the wife again?
I was role playing. I was being old.
So you don't hear. I came across this article about Dave Pasco. Now, in the news has been a gentleman by the name of Brian Johnson, who is trying to have a chronological age that is significantly greater than his actual metabolic biological age, right?
What does that mean? Break that down.
Basically, he's trying to stay younger for longer. So they're using tests to kind of come up with an equivalent of how old you are. And I thought it was just Brian Johnson who had this blueprint project.
Yes.
But it turns out, and he's spending millions of dollars a year. This is a former tech guy.
$2 million a year, right?
Yeah. It turns out they actually have a ranking system of these people across the world who are really into trying to maintain their bodies and their physique in a way that's younger than their chronological age. I came across this Dave Pasco guy in an article, and he only spends $30,000 a year on all of his supplementation, what he does. He's not sponsored by anybody. He's just a retired 60-something-year-old man. Go to Vital Stats, Arun, if you don't mind. It's Dave Pasco. There you go. Chronological age, 61, will be 62 in August. His current epigenetic age, which is their biological age, 37.95 years. And if you look at him, go to the photos, if you have any photos. And I love looking at dudes that are topless, but this is going to be a special one. This guy is 61, going to be 62 years old. My recent photos. Did you click on it?
It was over there.
Yep. Yeah, my recent photos. Okay, you broke it.
How did you break the website?
There you go.
Right there in the middle. Down, right there. There perfect.
My recent photos. This guy, again,
Stud.
Scroll down. Scroll to the
damn, post. That hair, no, though.
Scroll down.
Stud.
He's a P90X guy.
He's a P90X
guy. He's not a gym lifter. Keep going down. This guy on the in the sauna. This guy, 61, going to be 62 years old. If I look half as good as this dude at 61, 62 years old, I will have done something right.
If you had half his hair, you're
good for him.
Okay,
man.
You're playing the hair card really. I mean, it's still sensitive, okay?
He's got a watch on, he's got the Whoop on.
So go to his supplements schedule there, Arun. So what really caught me, my supplement list, you were just on it. There you go. Nope, down. There you go. Okay. There you go. Are you not reading? Well,
no, I'm just scrolling until I hear hot.
Oh, okay. Go to the very bottom of this list. So I was reading this late last night. My wife was fast asleep next to me. And then it came across all these supplements that he's taken. It's wild and crazy. And there's a lot of stuff that just does. It's just too much. And
it's not reasonable for the everyday person.
He admits that. He says, look, like he doesn't have caloric restriction like a lot of these guys do. He has some interesting things. There's a lot of good reading here in his supplementation. He says, look, I know it works for me. But when I got to the peptide section.
Peptide section.
BPC-157. I have taken that from Transcend. Mm-hmm. I have literally taken that. It made me feel like a lot of the damage to my body had been repaired, right? GHKCU. I'm currently taking that. I'm actually putting it on my skin to make my skin feel and look younger.
No, Mott-C is on there, too.
Mott-C is on there as well. All the stuff that we constantly talk about from Transcend, which sounds like revolutionary and sexy, is actually being used by these guys who are getting successful results in proving with their blood work and their biology that they're actually staying younger for longer. Mm-hmm. The newest peptide that I'm going to try from Transcend coming up is called SS31. It's going to be like Mott-C, but it's supposed to be even better for brain function and cognition. I have never been more confident that me taking this is actually not as taboo and scary as I did. And for those of you listening to the show and you want to find a way to support the show, you can go to transcendcompany.com/THSP. That's transcendcompany.com/THSP. Set up, get some blood work done, talk to them about some of these things. I think they are fantastic. And clearly, in instances like Dave Pascoe here, they are working.
Right. You'd be supporting the show, and you'd also really be supporting yourself.
Yeah. Let's get into this pop culture.
Let's get it.
Pop me with some culture, baby.
We'll hit it real fast. Let's go. Joe Rogan, did you guys watch the UFC 300 this
Bro,
weekend?
Bro,
I wanted to watch it, but god damn, I saw the highlight, though.
Okay, first of all, Justin Gaethje was on Parse's podcast, and I think that's what did him wrong.
That's fucked up.
Sorry, Parse, you did this to him, okay?
He did this.
No,
that shit was wild.
I thought, first of all, Max Holloway had clearly won that fight. All he had to do...
You watched the whole fight?
Yeah, all he had to do was stay up. I saw a recast of it later on. I couldn't watch it live. But all he had to do was stay up, not get knocked out in the last round. I think it was the 10th round.
Not 10th round. There's only 5 rounds.
5 rounds. This is
fifth round,
yeah.
Yeah. He says, let's stand in the ring and fight. He's pointing to the ring.
That was the most incredible part, right? He's like, we're staying right here.
Yeah, I'm going to risk getting knocked out just to finish this like a man.
Arun introduced me to Max Holloway like a couple years ago. He's like, it was one of his favorite fighters, right, Arun?
Yeah, dude, he's a straight up fighter.
And he's like a family man too, man.
Yeah. I know. Really,
and the other fight,
like heavy
too,
into though. heavy into I think like Hawaiian culture, right? He's Hawaiian.
I think he is Hawaiian, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was an incredible display. I feel bad for Justin Gaethje that going down like that is not something you want to be, you know. You don't want it to be there permanently, but I mean, it was an incredible fight. Shout out to both of them; they did really well, and they finished it like champs, man.
I mean, yeah, that's. I mean, it takes a different kind of individual to stand in a ring like that.
That was a knockout, man.
All right, Caitlin Clark, number one pick in WNBA. The salary conversation. I know we touched on it in the beginning, but like, what are you guys' thoughts?
So, what does it say here? It says Clark will pocket $338,000 over 4 years under her contract with the Indiana Fever. In contrast, last year's number one NBA draft pick secured a $55 million bag.
Was that Wembanyama?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
But I've been watching his highlights. He's fucking incredible.
Oh, well, he's doing stuff nobody's ever done. I think, you know, he did something that I haven't seen any NBA player do. He signed an endorsement deal with Louis Vuitton.
Stop it.
Gangster. Wait, really?
Gangster.
Wow, Arun's nipples got so hard right now.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's interesting.
I believe he's also French, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe there was a time.
He's incredibly. I've never seen anything like him.
I mean, he just looks like a freak. So, he looks like and he's amazing. But look, dude, she's gonna transcend the sport, right? see what I did there?
Yeah.
And look, the WNBA first of all was not profitable for a long period of time.
Is it profitable now?
I don't know. It could be. I think it will be next year. Okay. Never. I'm pretty like glued into the whole college basketball, NBA, you know, WNBA scene. Okay. Never have I ever heard so many people talk about girls' college basketball and the WNBA.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know what exactly it is, but the females in the sport are getting visibly more athletic and talented.
And listen, if you want your kids to learn how to play basketball the right way, have them watch girls basketball. The guys rely too much on athleticism. When I have Adam, my son, watch an NBA game, I'm like, what am I? This is not logical. Like, he's not going to pick up anything from this. I had him start watching WNBA games. He's actually seen how people, you know, cut, they curl, they fade away, like all these things. And like, this is the way you go if you want to learn how to play ball. I think she's going to do a lot for the sport. And look, the league started somewhere in the late 90s. What do you expect?
I would expect more. And here's
really?
Dude, the cost of living. If you're an athlete and you're playing professionally, people, they really underestimate the amount of taxing it goes into your
Look,
body.
Look, I get it. The season is like 2 months, 3 months long.
Is it really that short?
Yeah, bro. It's during the offseason of the NBA. What do you mean?
And there's 8 teams total, too? 10?
I was not aware.
Come on, man. Yeah. No, it's not going on around the same time.
So is she allowed to have like a second job?
That's the thing. I've heard stories where like they're not allowed to, but I think a lot of them play overseas in the off season, and then they actually get paid more bucks overseas.
But she also has endorsement deals too, right? I've heard.
She's going to be fine.
Yeah,
she's going to be more than fine, right? Look, the NBA is going to highlight her too, right? She'll be, but it's more so everybody else under her. I mean, she's a phenomenal talent. I actually really enjoy watching her personally.
I haven't seen her actually play.
She's absolutely incredible, man.
But I haven't seen anybody play. So yeah.
Playing Steph Curry, but a female version.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, literally like sidestepping, like 10 feet off the line.
Very cool. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
There's some drama for you guys. The Golden Bachelor, Jerry Turner. Do you guys watch The Bachelor? No?
Yes? I don't even know the concept
of the
show.
Do you watch The Bachelor?
No, I don't, but I thought this was interesting.
Hold on.
That's not true.
Hold on. He said that like he watches it.
Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah, but...
wait.
Then how did you know it was interesting, Chief?
Because the show's been on for like 15 years. And
you would know that, wouldn't you? Not watching it.
A senior citizen on the show.
A senior citizen?
Yeah. The Golden Bachelor.
The Golden Bachelor. I got it now. Like Golden
Get
Girls.
It. Yeah. Okay.
He's an older gentleman. All the women were older, too.
They should have had Dave Pasco on. That guy would have killed it on this
he
thing.
He would have crushed it. Nah, but then his age would have gone up.
Yeah. By the way, Dave Pasco, single, not married, no kids. Yeah. A lot to be said for staying young.
Minus one, ladies.
Yeah. Look what you did to us.
All right, Chris already touched it.
I touched it all.
You touched it all? No. Like the impounds things.
You got to be specific when you say touch it on this show, okay?
Getting impounded.
Yeah,
so Coachella, you guys have never been? Have you guys ever been to any music fest?
Nope.
No, I have a cousin that's been trying to convince me to go, and I just keep saying, it's really not my thing.
He wears pearls, man.
He makes it so cool.
It looks cool as shit. I can't pull off pearls.
I'm definitely not that confident.
Would there be anyone that you would go to Coachella for?
Nope.
Oh, no.
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 It's not that I like all the audience. Don't get me wrong.
Your boy.
I know Will Smith was there and he did that
thing. He was there?
Yeah, no, J Balvin pulled him out.
Wait, wow.
And he did the Men in Black?
Yeah, he did Men in Black. So he came out. J Balvin flew in like on a UFO.
That's a good PR move for
him. And then it was an interesting move because, I mean, obviously P. Diddy wasn't helping him out, but bad boys for life, right? Nobody wants to be a bad boy for life anymore.
Yeah, it's like, God, imagine. Yeah.
Dude, Will Smith, he's like, God damn it, Diddy.
Man, first Jada,
couldn't wait to get rated after the show. Oh. Yeah. And the review segment of the show. I've been waiting for this all night long.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
You're not getting out of this one. If you can move it over to the right, I want to make sure I don't screw this one up because the bag here is really important. So C.J. Grenier.
Oh, you said that. Nice.
Yeah, I've been practicing this segment all day long. I've been so excited. He commented on a post, and at first I was offended for you because I thought he was attacking me, but then when I realized it was about you, I was okay. He says to me, for an hour, me and my wife sit and talk at the end of the night. Unfortunately, I need to unsubscribe. I saw, unfortunately, I need to unsubscribe. I'm like, this motherfucker
right here?
And then I saw the top court, and I'm like, ah. And I responded that way, saying, you fucking kills me. Because I can't spell whenever I'm happy. Yeah. Right? And then he said, I need to listen to 8 hours of Andrew Tate just to get my headspace back to neutral.
What he's referencing, for the listeners out there that don't understand what he's referencing, on the last episode, I believe, episode 225, your boy out here was admiring how healthy of a relationship he has with his wife. that I thoroughly enjoy sitting down with her and talking to her at night.
Yeah, you're the world's greatest husband. We know this.
It's so not I, that. Yeah. I just enjoy. What? No, I can't. I'm a bad guy for enjoying spending time with my wife.
No, you have the world's most perfect relationship. You have a wonderful wife.
I did not say that. It came up. You're like, you're not watching any TV shows? I said, no, we don't. We actually.
That's like me saying, I hate the burden of having such a heavy penis. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a terrible thing for me to have.
No, you said, what TV shows are you watching? Why haven't you started watching Loki yet?
Yeah.
And I said, honestly, man, we're not into any TV shows right now.
Chris, why don't you wear shorts? I just can't, guys.
Yeah,
it's too- that's it's just, I wish I could.
The girth is just too
much.
Yeah,
it's functionally not possible. So, of course, I responded to him saying after he needed to listen to 8 hours of Andrew Tate just to get his headspace back to neutral, I said, you sprouted a vagina, didn't you? Now you know why I'm on TRT, proximity.
You got it. Yeah, you got to make up for it.
Yeah, I got to make up to your proximity estrogen creeping over this way.
Got it.
It's in the
air. I don't understand how it's a bad thing. Are you telling me that you don't like sitting down and talking with your wife?
The psychological warfare of a salesman is amazing, finishing off CJ's beautiful review.
Or of salesman? Yeah. Hold on, salesmanship, what's going on? I'm not selling anything.
Are you?
What am I trying to sell over here? Let me ask you a question, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you sit down and just give your wife your undivided attention?
I anticipated this question, and I want you to know, as a friend, okay, I actually had this conversation with my wife last night in full anticipation of this happening before Mr. Grenier even messaged me today.
Okay.
I said, honey, baby doll, sugar plum, have you listened to the last show? And of course she said no. And I said, well, there's a segment where, you know, Saeed talks about having tea with his wife. And Arun and I both couldn't help but laugh our asses off because the inauthenticity in it.
What? It's authentic, bro.
I'm sure it is for you. And Arun and I just felt it was slightly disingenuous that you're the world's greatest husband.
What is that? How does that make me the world's greatest husband? What does that do?
Listen, because we know what comes next. Next, you come in here, you're like, we had tea. You had such a long day on her feet. That I massaged her feet while we were drinking tea.
You know he does.
Of course you do. He's making the I do face.
No, we don't. That's actually something I don't do. I don't do. I'm not good at giving massages. I say, I'll get you a massage.
So you just pay for somebody else to do it for you.
Yeah, like you do.
Huh?
You do that too.
I don't have a choice. She pays for it.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
That being said, I said, honey, Saeed does this. And would you like to do this? Drink tea? She's like, fuck no.
Why? She doesn't want it doesn't have to be tea. She doesn't want undivided attention from you?
No, she gets it all the time.
Shots fired.
She gets your undivided attention for more than an hour?
Yeah.
Where?
All the time.
I actually do want to know
all
when.
The time? Get out of here.
When?
That's all I'm saying I'm doing.
Every time we have sex, it's definitely more than an hour.
Oh,
my attention is undivided.
Your undivided attention.
Undivided
That's
attention.
It? That's it? That's
No, look, man. I try to date my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's as simple as just going to dinner, and we don't really drink that much anymore, but going to dinner and having a conversation.
You put the phone away, you put everything down?
I can't, in my line of work, I can't put the phone away. Mm. I know you guys do that, and frankly, I take objection with it. No, I'm dead ass serious.
I don't. Hold on, you get responses out of me very, very well.
No, I know, but here's what you guys do. Is you guys say, okay, I'm going to put my phone down, I'm going to walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You have an Apple Watch.
Yeah?
I have an Apple Watch. I always see messages coming in, mm-hmm. and I respond to everything. And the reason why I don't like delay or just sit there and wait most times is I'll get so many messages, and this is not me being like, oh, I'm fucking popular. I've got so many things going on that I get so many messages. If I don't respond quickly, I won't respond.
Yeah, because it just, it goes back.
It just gets to the back of the list, or I get something else, and the ADD kicks in, and I just won't respond. Mm-hmm. And I physiologically just cannot do that in my current line of work. Mm-hmm. I hope to have a day where I move on from this career to something else.
Yeah.
And when I do, I want to take a year off and do exactly that. So I'm not criticizing. I want to do exactly that. But right now, my career, I can't do it.
Yeah. That's totally understandable. No. So like, for instance, I know Arun, he works at home with his wife all day long. Right. My wife is a dental hygienist. So I can't call her.
You covered this last show.
I can't call her in between patients.
Yeah, I know.
So I just enjoy.
Doing it for the new users.
I just enjoy giving her my undivided attention for 1 hour a night.
No,
I don't think that's 4% of your day.
I fully respect the 4% of your day that you give her. Technically, a lot more when you consider that your waking hours are a lot less than your 24 hours. But, you know, hey, who's counting?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, between all the showers you have to take at night before you go to bed.
How long does your shower take?
My shower?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of me. I'm girthy.
There is a lot of, especially with the nipple sensitivity.
I actually shower before I come to the show, and then I go to bed when I get home.
Okay.
Yeah. I like to come in here fresh.
That's not true. You come here from the gym sometimes.
Yeah, those days I shower when I get home.
I don't know if you do.
I do. In the sink. No, I shower. It's gross.
He does his wudu.
Wudu.
Eid Mubarak, everybody.
No, no, we did it. Yep. All right.
All right, Odu, you got anything else?
Nope.
Christopher, you got anything?
Arun, solid job tonight. You were fucking on point.
Thank you, sir.
I hope all those lights
are red. Until you started getting at him for fucking going on that guy's page.
What?
The supplement list.
I mean, it said my supplement list, bro, and you passed over it three times. Like it said, like
you
it
was go, you go 0 to 100 real quick.
You literally said to me before we started recording tonight, you better bring that fucking energy.
Yeah.
Did I not bring the energy?
You brought the energy. Good job, man.
I don't want your fist bump.
Come on, Fuzzy.
You don't want the fist?
Come on.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy was Saeed's knuckle hair.
Yeah. There you go. Good night, everybody.
Bye.